News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Lara Marlowe is writing exclusively in tomorrow's Irish Times with her analysis of the conflict in the Middle East and the US and Israeli attack on Iran. She is a journalist who has spent many years covering both war, but specifically covering and reporting from within Iran. Lara, can I ask the sort of the broad existential questions that I think everybody is asking? First of all, what is the American objective in all of this? Because I know you postulate a couple of theories as to the answer to that in your piece. And secondly, what do you think the end result is actually going to be?
As far as the US objective goes, I don't think anyone knows. I don't think even Donald Trump knows. If you listen to him meandering around verbally, basically, I think my conviction, and this is what Marco Rubio said, is that the U.S. joined in this war to accompany Israel because Benjamin Netanyahu gave them faced them with a fait accompli. He was going to attack Iran. Rubio said that they knew that Iran would retaliate against the U.S., so it was better to be on the offensive. Now, this was denied by Trump, but Trump changes his rhetoric every day anyway. Excuse me. So it just shows that it's basically it's Israel that makes U.S. foreign policy. One possibility is that it was a wag the dog situation. As you know, the Justice Department released something like a million more pages of Epstein files at the end of January. And sleuths were trawling through these files and finding some very nasty stuff, like there were women's bodies buried on the grounds of Epstein's ranch in New Mexico. Epstein had ordered 330 gallons of sulfuric acid. There was an allusion to interviews with a woman who claimed that Trump had raped her when she was 13 years old, but all the corresponding documents were missing from the files. The Wall Street Journal reported that over 47,000 files that had been released had gone missing. And if you go on the internet and look for them, it just says offline for further review. So Trump was facing this storm over the Epstein files. Netanyahu was also very criticized for the security lapses, which led to the October 7th, 2023 massacre of over 1,200 Israelis by Hamas. So they both wanted to divert attention from their own domestic problems. That's a possibility. Israel wants to destroy Iran once and for all. It wants basically to do to Iran what it did to the Gaza Strip, but it will be much more difficult because there are 90 million people in Iran. It's an enormous country. The finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, said yesterday that the southern suburbs of Beirut, which are the stronghold of Hezbollah, will soon look like Khan Yunis, the big town in the center of Gaza. So that their objective is destruction. It's death and destruction, basically. As far as the end result goes, I think it's going to be chaos. If all the Iranian regime has to do to win is basically to survive, and so far they are surviving, it looks like they're going to appoint Mojtaba Khamenei, the son of the late Ayatollah, who was the supreme leader of Iran. He will be appointed to replace his father. The U.S. and Israel have said that they will assassinate him, too. Donald Trump says that he wants to decide who will be Iran's next leader. The CIA is financing Kurds to make an armed insurrection against the regime in Tehran. We've seen this sort of operation many times before. It always fails, always. The U.S. is talking about the Balkanization of Iran. In other words, they want to break it up into many little pieces. They would get the Arab Iranians, the Baluchistan Iranians, the Azeri Iranians, all to rise up against the central government and break it up into little pieces. This is what happened in Libya after an air war deposed, overthrew Muammar Gaddafi, and Libya is still in civil war all these years, more than a decade later. So far, regime change in the Middle East has been very, very bad for the peoples concerned. Iraq is still unstable. They had years of civil war, hundreds of thousands of people killed. And that's what Israel and the U.S. apparently want for Iran.
And can I ask then, I think it was Colin Powell who had the pottery barn analogy when it came to regime change, which is, if you break it, you've bought it. To what extent can America do this and then extract itself from Iran?
Well, Donald Trump seems to do anything he wants to. He acts totally by whim. Venezuela is sort of the model for what he wants to do in Iran, i.e. a very quick operation. You go in, depose the top guy, and then leave. In Venezuela, he basically kept the regime. He just decapitated it and kept Delcy Rodriguez, who was an underling to Maduro, kept her in power. And Trump has talked about two possibilities. He's talked about finding someone within the regime, perhaps a general in the Revolutionary Guard, who he can work with, and then basically keeping the regime in place. But he's also talked about the people rising up and told the people, we're giving you the opportunity, you know, go in and take control of the government now. Now, these are completely opposite objectives, but he seems to have to not really care which one comes to pass. And can he just walk away from it? Not really, because the Iranians control the Straits of Hormuz, through which about more than 20% of the world's petroleum travels. He also is allied with all the Gulf Arab sheikhdoms. He has bases all over the Gulf. The Iranian regime is attacking those bases now, is firing drones and missiles at all of these sheikhdoms, many of whom, particularly Dubai, is full of foreign tourists. So the U.S. has a lot of interest there. Also, the U.S. is somehow twinned with Israel, and instability in Iran will inevitably affect Israel, threaten Israel. So it's hard to see how he could just totally extract himself from it. He risks being bogged down. And you'll remember that Trump, throughout his presidential campaign, promised over and over and over again, no more foreign wars, no forever wars. I'm going to be the president of peace. Okay. This is not the first contradiction, of course.
Lara, thank you so much. That is Lara Marlowe. And if you want to read Lara Marlowe's analysis, it's going to be in further detail in the Irish Times tomorrow. The latest that is being reported is that the UK is to send 4 additional Typhoon fighter jets to Qatar, and they're refusing to rule out possible direct attacks on Iran, depending on how the conflict develops. Meanwhile, overnight, Israel has been hitting Beirut with further missile attacks, and the US is saying that the worst of the violence in terms of their attacks is yet to come. With us is Tom Clonan, security analyst, independent senator, and former army officer. To look at the military situation as it now stands, Tom, there seems to be a war of production as much as ordnance, in that the capacity for the Iranians to keep bombarding the states around them is much smaller than America's capacity to keep bombarding Iran. At least that's the line being taken from the administration. Is that what's ultimately going to bring this conflict to a close? Somebody's going to run out of stuff.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I do agree with you that, you know, logistics are, in blunt terms, what determines the outcome of a conflict. Basically, the person with the most stuff in the right place at the right time, as you say, wins. But this is an entirely different scenario, in that it's an air intervention. And it has gone through, it's entering its second phase now. So the first phase, which began last Saturday, was what they call the suppression of enemy air defenses, or SEAD. So the Israelis and the Americans went in wave after wave, attacking the principal architecture of Iran's air defense. And they also had that strike in Tehran, which I think precipitated the start of it, which was to kill the supreme leader, the Ayatollah al-Khamenei. They're now into, which Donald Trump referred to earlier in the week, he kept saying, you know, the big one is coming, the big one is coming. Hegseth saying Iran is toast and they know it, you know, extraordinary language, more appropriate for a DC or a Marvel comic movie than, you know, international affairs, but here we are. So in the next week, I would say you're going to see a major escalation of the airstrikes because they're going from suppression now to what they call destruction. So they're going to seek to totally destroy Iran's command and control centers, their human targets, their logistics and supply chain. And during the initial air phase, the Iranians, by attempting to defend themselves, will have revealed, you know, where their assets are. So the Americans and the Israelis are building up a better intelligence picture. I suppose for Irish people who are trapped in the Gulf, thousands of them, I think the Americans and the Israelis will probably assert better control of the airspace after the suppression phase. So we may see a return to, if not normal, but probably something approaching certainly better commercial air routes out and out of the region. So that is of some comfort in this scenario to Irish citizens.
And if the Americans are successful in their aim to destroy the munitions that Iran currently has, does Iran have any capacity to replace them?
Well, to the point that Lara Marlow made, I mean, Iran is not the Gaza Strip. It's a country of over 90 million people. And territorially, it's, you know, four times the size of Afghanistan. You simply can't achieve the hypothesized war aims. I mean, that are being kind of rehearsed in the international media. You know, the ideal scenario for Trump would have been if, having killed the Ayatollah al-Khamenei, that, you know, some more moderate Republican Guard figure would have taken control, you know, somebody who was more friendly to Western demands around their nuclear enrichment program. But that was never going to happen, because it's one thing to kill a nuclear scientist because they're difficult to replace. But in Iran, you can kill a religious zealot or a fanatical Republican Guard leader, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, there immediately ready to take their place. The second scenario is one of civil war fomented by Israel and the United States, as suggested by Lara there. And that's not going to have the predicted outcomes that would benefit Trump. Look, when some of your listeners may remember back to Operation Desert Storm and Desert Shield, there were 1 million troops from various nations used to just get the Iraqis out of Kuwait. And that succeeded, but it didn't topple Saddam Hussein. In the invasion of Iraq in 2003 after 9/11, the Americans used a tenth of that, 100,000 troops on the ground troops. That failed. And in fact, okay, Iraq went from being, a Sunni hegemony to being a Shia ally to Iran. So at the moment, the Americans have 50,000 in the Gulf, and they're all involved in air operations. So to try and figure out what's going to happen there, I wouldn't be listening to Trump's outbursts. I'd be looking at what they're actually doing.
Okay.
And what they're suggesting is an air campaign which cannot achieve the objectives. But one thing, can I just say one last thing, Tom?
Unfortunately, we don't have time. The clock is against us. Tom Clonan, thank you very much. Security analyst and independent senator. 53106 if you want to get in touch.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.
7 1400 106.